Jesus, you're worthy of it all. And Heavenly Father, I thank you that you gave us your Holy Spirit. And Holy Spirit, I just ask that you accomplish what you want to accomplish in your word today. Just help us to receive what you have for us and see it how you see it, understand it how you understand it. I thank you for it. In Jesus' name, amen. I don't plan on taking a long time, but you guys know how that goes with me. We had the Wednesday night teaching, and I zoomed into it, and Bill Johnson used this verse, and I missed the rest of the teaching because I was just into this verse. And we all know the verse. We've heard it probably 1,000 times, and I don't know if we've ever looked into it or not. But I want us to look at it from a kingdom perspective. Now, I was talking with Briley yesterday. And if you ever want to have a deep spiritual discussion, talk to Briley. So I like shared what I thought was like the simplest thing, and she immediately just took it to a depth that I thought was amazing. Oh, and this and that. But one of the points of the conversation was looking at a circumstance and bringing a different perspective to it. How many of you know the circumstance doesn't change, but you will change if you bring a different perspective to it? And what I really believe the Lord wants us to, especially as we dig into the culture of heaven and his kingdom and how we live in and out of his kingdom, is that we need to bring a different perspective to life. That includes a different perspective to scripture. So when I say I want us to look at this from his kingdom perspective, this scripture should come alive to us in a different way, because it did to me. When my wife asked me what I thought of Bill Johnson's message, I was just lost in the scripture, and I really don't know what. I'd have to go back and check. So, Matthew 3:16. As soon as Jesus was baptized, he went up out of the water. At that moment, heaven was open. And Bill used this specifically because it said heaven was open. You know, we want to live under an open heaven, right? And he saw the Spirit of God descending like a dove and lighting on him. And this is the part that grabbed me. And a voice from heaven said, "This is my Son, whom I love. With him I am well pleased." Now, as I said, perspective changes everything without changing anything. Right? Just said, the circumstance may not change at all, but everything we bring to the circumstance may change totally if we have a different perspective that we apply to it. Right? We can stress over something, we can worry over it, but when Jesus' peace comes upon us, guess what? The circumstance didn't change, but I changed. So, everyone knows this verse, right? "This is my beloved Son in whom I'm well pleased." I picked this one because it broke it up a little bit different. "This is my Son, whom I love, I'm well pleased," right? Now, from a kingdom perspective, I want us to look at this and say, what does this have to do with me? Okay? First, I found it interesting that whenever God speaks throughout the Word of God, whenever he speaks, things are established, right? You are because he spoke. This world is because he spoke. Everything that has happened has come out of the fact that his words have power. When he speaks, there's something that happens, right? Something like dynamite. It explodes and things happen. So I can't simply look at this passage because God's speaking and think, oh, these are just words on a piece of paper and he's just saying nice things about Jesus. No, there's a kingdom thought in there that He's saying something to me that I need to understand to apply to my life, because my life should be changed because he spoke. Okay? When God speaks, things are established. Now, here's something he has spoken over all of us that I don't know if we've ever truly applied it. Jeremiah 29:11. Another very popular verse, right? For I know the plans I have for you, declares the Lord. Okay, there's a declaration. And he specific, I know the plans I have for you. We need to realize what it's like to live in heaven on earth. And now the reality of, oh, he has plans for me. Life doesn't happen to me random. Life does happen, but he has a plan to carry me through every single aspect of life. Every step I take can be on the path he has carved out for me. How do I know that? He declared it. He spoke and something's been established. The promises, the proclamations, the declarations of the Lord are forever. Plans to prosper you and not to harm you. Plans to give you hope and a future. Then you will call upon me and come and pray to me, and I will listen to you. How many of you live life knowing you have God's ear? Some words might not come out of your mouth if you realize you had his ear and he's paying attention. You will seek me. Guess what? You'll find him. When you seek me with all your heart. When you look at this verse as a declaration of the Lord and understand that now something's established in our lives, it now speaks to me and changes me. When he says, this is my son, he's speaking as much to us today. This is what I'm calling relational kingdom identity. When God said this, he said it to us as well and established something. You're my child. Now, I don't know what it's like for you. I don't know how many of you have had children. I've had a couple, few, four. And the moment they were conceived, it changed me. I had a hope, an expectation, something to look forward to. How many of you know that the moment he even thought of you, he had an expectation and a hope and a path for your life? There's a reality in the kingdom when you identify with it that you're not a mistake. Some of us have lived like we're a mistake. We have a lot of confusion going out in the world because they think they're a mistake. And stupid people have stupid ideas to try and solve it, and they're creating more stupidity. That's the most political I'll get about it. May not be socially responsible, but the fact is stupidity breeds stupidity, and we have a lot of stupidity out there. Why? Because people don't understand they're not a mistake. They were made in his image towards a destiny that he had carved out for them if they'd simply give their life to him. There's a reality of the kingdom. Relational kingdom identity. John 1:12. And I just have a few scriptures that all say the same thing, so you'll get the gist of it. Yet to all who receive him, to those who believed in his name, he gave the right to become children of God. Now let's act like it. I was playing with my grandkids after everyone left the party and they wanted to go back in the pool. So I got in with them, and Kyrie's pretty cool because now it's like, no, I'm not going to wear my floaties. I can do stuff, but she don't want to hang around the stairs. So by the end of it, I got her to swim all the way across the pool and all the way back without me touching her. Now, you know, there's a relationship, because when I first got in, she wouldn't leave the stairs. Or I could step away and then she'd jump to me, you know what I mean? Or then I could take another step back, and we worked our way towards trust because of a relationship that I would not let any harm come to her, period. She was safe. To the point that I was throwing toys in the pool and then pushing her down under so she could grab the toy and float back up and get a breath. We're drowning the kid. But there was trust involved. Why? Because there's a relationship. How many of us live every moment of our day walking in right relationship with God? Matter of fact, even realizing that we have a Father who loves us, who protects us, who has a path for us to walk, and we're okay to walk it. There's a realization of the kingdom in this simple passage that says, "This is my son," if we'll get a hold of it. He gave them the right to become children of God. Children born not of a natural descent, nor of human decision or a husband's will, but born of God. Do you understand your essence? In the kingdom, you are born of God, meaning He is responsible for your life. That is a freeing statement. The burden is His. Guess what? He is more than capable of relating to you in a manner that brings you to His fullness and His complete destiny for your life. He's more than capable. All we have to do is trust in it. Be aware of what kingdom we're part of. Romans 8:14, because those who are led by the Spirit of God are sons of God. These are bold, strong statements that we have to grasp, and we need to look at it differently than we've ever looked at it before. Children do it best. They become so bold when their parents are around. Why? Because they relate to their dad. They relate to their mother. They become the Incredible Hulk. I had a green little guy running around yesterday. And they literally, like, think they're the Incredible Hulk. How many of us look in the mirror when we wake up and think we're incredible? Why would we degrade the awesomeness of God at all? Guys are incredible. Why? Because He's made you to be incredible. I can do all things through Christ. Don't sell it short. For you did not receive a spirit that makes you a slave again to fear, but you received the Spirit of sonship. And by Him we cry, Abba, Father. The Spirit Himself testifies with our spirit that we are God's children. Now, if we are children, then we are heirs. Heirs of God and co-heirs with Christ, if indeed we share in His suffering, in order that we may also share in His glory. Galatians 26, you are all sons of God through faith in Christ Jesus. There's a relational identity. We don't need to just identify with Christ. We need to understand He's brought us into relationship. You know, when I married my wife, I didn't just identify her as my wife. Oh, you're my wife. Good to see you. I'm leaving. You'll be my wife when I come back. Didn't work that way. There was a relationship that was, that is, and will be, that was established when we spoke a vow. And it drives a passion to pursue relationship on a continual basis. This is my son. There's something that comes behind that in the kingdom of God that causes us to relationally identify with who we are and pursue continual relationship. How do I know? Because he declared it. And it's written down in the Gospels more than on one occasion. So we should pay attention to it. It means something. It tells us something we are to live out and live from. Luke 15, 20. Everyone knows this. Story of the prodigal son. This is towards the end of it. So he got up and went to his father. Now here was a son who basically just went and did his own thing, to the point that he lost who he was and didn't realize that he could ever be what he had been. Okay? A lot of us approach God this way. And this, so to me, portrays the heart of God towards us, especially as we screw up. But while he was still a long way off, his father saw him and was filled with compassion for him. He ran to his son, threw his arms around him and kissed him. The son said to him, "Father, I have sinned against heaven and against you. I'm no longer worthy to be called your son." But the father said to his servants, "Quick, bring the best robe and put it on him. Put a ring on his finger and sandals on his feet. Bring the fattened calf and kill it. Let's have a feast and celebrate. For this son of mine was dead and is alive again. He was lost and is found." So they began to celebrate. See, the heart of the father is, this is my son. Regardless of what you do. Regardless of how you are. Regardless of how you approach him. Why? Because he sees his completed work in you. And there ain't a whole lot you can do to mess it up that he can't straighten out. You can go to the Lord in your worst condition, and he sees you as righteous. He sees you as holy. He sees his son in you. It's a kingdom perspective. There's a whole lot of righteousness in the kingdom. Why? Because you are his righteousness. Okay, moving on. Whom I love. This is my son, relational identity. Whom I love. Relational, kingdom, foundation. Everything in the kingdom is rooted and established in love. Everything. Everything flows from foundation of love. We spent weeks talking about love. I'm sure we haven't exhausted it. And sometimes it's weird thinking, because we think of all these things to apply to just our temporary existence on the earth, but they're eternal principles. In fact, the Word of God says, and these three remain, faith, hope, and love, and the greatest of these is love, right? So I want to talk a little bit about it. 1 John 3:16. I love using these verses because we all know them. Probably don't even need the words on the screen. But if you'll let the Holy Spirit open your eyes, you'll see things differently if you're looking through a kingdom perspective. I want John 3:16. It says, "For God so loved the world that he gave his only son, that whoever believes in him shall not perish, but have eternal life." You say, why? For God so loved. Okay, now, the Word of God says His love surpasses our knowledge, which means it's really hard for us to grasp. So if we took all the intellectual and emotional thoughts we've ever experienced in life regarding love and put them all together in a bowl, we wouldn't have scratched the surface of the love of God and what He has demonstrated for us, right? Matter of fact, Romans 5:8 says, but God demonstrates His own love for us in that while we were still sinners, Christ died for us. That is what we walk on, foundation. That is what we build upon. That is what we live out of from a kingdom perspective. That is the culture that's ingrained. Absolute, perfect love. Absolute, perfect love. But yet we struggle to see it how He sees it, even saying good morning to one another. Oh, you just blew me off. Hey. Perfect love. I love the book, The Shack, the movie The Shack. And I know people have different issues with it. Too bad. Get over it. Some people get so wrapped up in stuff you shouldn't get wrapped up into. Okay? But there's a conversation that takes place, and it's talking about these people and God, who's a woman at this time, kind of chuckles at it. God just doesn't get wrapped up in how you see yourself and all these things that He's not concerned. He's not worried. Oh, my child took this path. He's got it covered. Love doesn't fret or fear over it. He has an eternal perspective. Ah, yeah, look at them. Yeah, but you should see them where they are over here in time. You should see how they're glorifying my name. They might be glorifying Satan right now, but they're glorifying my name. I proclaimed it. I've called it forth. There's no place. There's no place so low that you can be that He can't call you into your destiny and out in the muck and the mire. Why? Because He so loved. And He gives us some instruction. 1 John 4:7. Dear friends, let us love one another, for love comes from God. Everyone who loves has been born of God and knows God. Whoever does not love does not know God, because God is love. This is how God showed His love among us. He sent His Son, His one and only Son, into the world that we might live through Him. This is not love, not that we loved God, but that He loved us and sent His Son as an atoning sacrifice for our sins. Dear friends, since God so loved us, we ought to love one another. No one has ever seen God, but if we love one another, God lives in us, and His love is made complete in us. Living in this kingdom relational foundation, will make the world see that we are His disciples. See, God spoke and He said, this is my Son. You're my child, whom I love. And established a relationship that's forever set. Do you know what it's like to live in the love of God? That's the place you live in. Every day, all the time. That's who His people are. And he's called us, Luke 10, 27. You all know this one. Love the Lord your God with all your heart, with all your soul, with all your strength, and with all your mind, and love your neighbor as yourself. That pretty much encompasses every person on earth, right? Me? Covers God, and it covers all of you. It's foundational. You can't escape it. I don't know why all these things popped up to me when he just read a simple verse. But all of a sudden, it meant everything different to me. It just wasn't a statement from God anymore. It was how he wants me to live my life in the perspective that he has, that I'm in relationship with him. And it is rooted and founded on love. Love that he demonstrated for me. You guys are quiet. It's a real simple message. This wasn't planned, by the way. You don't plan your speakers to get COVID and sick and all that stuff. And I said, God, what do you want to share? You know, coming to church and having a sermon is fine. It's fine. Gathering together and being aware of his presence so that my eyes are attuned to him, my ears are hearing him, changes everything. And a simple verse can all of a sudden change your life. See, we gather to exalt him, but he can't help but give us gifts. Right? This stuff's just awesome to me. So, last point. This is my son, whom I love. With him, I am well pleased. I call this relational kingdom affirmation. Now, this one's really hard for me because there's a paradox here. Okay? God has already said, without Jesus doing anything but getting baptized, right? I'm well pleased. You come to the Lord, you accept him as your Lord and Savior. And if you're not saved, you just need to surrender your life to God. There's just no better way. It'll change your perspective. Won't change your circumstance necessarily, but it'll change how you see it. I'm well pleased. When you come to the Lord, he establishes the relationship. You're now a child of God. He says not only to you that he loves you, he's already previously demonstrated his love to you. Otherwise, you wouldn't even be able to come to him. And then he affirms you. You're my child who I love. I'm happy with you. You're perfect in my sight. You are his righteousness. You are his holiness. You don't have to do anything to please God. You don't. He is pleased with you. However, his love will put a desire in your heart that makes you want to please him. Living in the kingdom is all about working that out. I love him so much, I want to please him. Try to demonstrate your love in a relationship, like for me, it'd be my wife, and try to do nothing to please them and say, I'm demonstrating my love. Now, I test that theory out a lot. And she demonstrates her love by me by keeping me around. That's kind of how that works. I do think about it, though. Hey, 31 and a half years later, that's a good step. No, there's something that makes you want to please the one you love. So you don't have to do anything. You can just be kingdom identity, right? But out of love, you'll desire to please him. Ephesians 5:8 says this, for you were once darkness, but how you are light, right? Yeah. But now you are light in the Lord. Live as children of light. For the fruit of the light consists in all goodness, righteousness, and truth. And find out what pleases the Lord. Now, you don't do this to establish your identity, right? He established your identity. You do this because you're founded and rooted in love. And you love the Lord. I had somebody ask me, I think Briley again, all these profound things. Are you in love with the Lord? And they've asked me this a number of times because I'm male. I have no problem loving the Lord. So, you know, I have no problem being in love with the Lord. I have no problem wanting intimacy with the Lord. Trash your perverted mind and you won't have any problem with intimacy with the Lord. It's the world that perverts that. Enough said. Hebrews 11:6. And without faith, it is impossible to please God, because anyone who comes to him must believe that he exists, that he rewards those who earnestly seek him. These three remain: faith, hope, and love. So, you know, what can you really hope for in heaven? You know, there's hope in heaven. Hope is something that God puts in your heart to desire. And remember, he wants to give you the desires of your heart. Faith is an activity of heaven that will make you say, hey, I desire that. That's God's put that desire in my heart. I know it's of his will. I'm going to put something in action so I can get a hold of that. It's faith. Right? Desire, I'm responding. That's how you please God. You become active in the things that he puts his desires, godly desires in your heart. You go after them. And what's he say even before you start doing it? I'm well pleased with you. Living in his kingdom, everyone realizes they're affirmed in him. I don't have to do a thing. He loves who I am. But out of that, man, I sure want to do stuff that pleases him. Romans 14:17. For the kingdom of God is not a matter of eating and drinking, but of righteousness, peace, and joy in the Holy Spirit, because anyone who serves Christ in this way is pleasing to God and approved by men. See, functioning in his kingdom makes us live knowing we're accepted, and out of that, our faith is energized and we produce fruit for his glory simply because we're rooted in a foundation of love in relationship with him. Kingdom of God is not a matter of eating and drinking, but of righteousness, peace, and joy in the Holy Spirit. And if you serve him this way, serve him what way? In righteousness, peace, and joy, which is what? Who he's called us to be. Goes right back to identity. You want to please God? Realize who you are in him. It's really that simple. Romans 12:1, therefore I urge you, brothers, in view of God's mercy, to offer your bodies as living sacrifices, holy and pleasing to God. This is your spiritual act of worship. Do not conform any longer to the pattern of this world, but be transformed by the renewing of your mind. Then you will be able to test and approve what God's will is, his good, pleasing, and perfect will. Oh, you say, why did I throw that in here? This one's simple. Sometimes it's just a sacrifice. See, living for God's a sacrifice? Yeah, because you're not identifying with who you are. You're taking on things you shouldn't take on. Your perspective isn't right, and it becomes a burden. Let's just be real. Sometimes we take on things we're not meant to take on. Cares of life. We're supposed to say, okay, here's my care platter, Lord. How are you going to take care of it? And he says, oh, let's do this. Let's go there. Why don't we say that? And then it becomes a joy. As we sacrifice those things, we will find out we not only please him, but he continually reaffirms who we are in him. Affirmation's a big deal. Well, we shouldn't need it. Then why do you make it a big deal? Exactly. He wouldn't have had to say any of this stuff to Jesus. Jesus knew this. He knew he was his son. He knew he was loved, and he knew he was pleasing to his father. Why? Because he only did things to please his father. When he spoke it, he established something in us. Why do we want to do these little cards to one another? Encourage, edification, and comfort. To affirm what God has spoken about each and every one of us. Why? So we go through life, circumstances, with a proper perspective, which is the kingdom, which means I've already overcome whatever this is. It's no sweat. Okay? So, Ecclesiastes 2:26. I'm almost done. To the man who pleases him, God gives wisdom, knowledge, and happiness. He just keeps giving gifts. I desire to please him because I love him. And instead of just affirming me, he does more. He bestows things upon me. Wisdom, knowledge, and happiness. But to the sinner, he gives the task of gathering and storing up wealth to hand it over to the one who pleases God. Not your burden. Seek ye first the kingdom of God and its righteousness, and all these things will be added to you. So that's what I saw in this verse. This is my son, whom I love, and him I'm well pleased. I'm going to close, and then I'm going to read another proclamation over you. So Heavenly Father, I bless your people, and I trust that you have not only spoken to them individually what they need to hear, but you're going to continue to speak to them. Because that's your desire, relationship, continual and in your presence. And I thank you for it. I declare this over them right now. 1 Peter 2:9. You are a chosen people. You are a royal priesthood. You are a holy nation, a people belonging to God, that you may declare the praises of him who called you out of darkness into his wonderful light. Once you were not a people, but now you are the people of God. Once you had not received mercy, but now you have received mercy. God declares you to say, you are chosen by him. Be blessed. You're dismissed.